the Lamb of God who can take away your sins. That's the message here in this Bible study in the Gospel of John. Going to go through the whole Bible, God willing, verse by verse. And today we're going to cover John 1, verses 19 through 36. So let's dig into the Word of God once again, folks. John chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?'" or "Who are you?" So this is speaking of John the Baptist, and he was causing quite a stir amongst the religious establishment of that time. And he was drawing multitudes and baptizing many, and it got the attention of the Jewish hierarchy. And they wanted to know who this guy was. So they said, "Who are you?" So this is what was taking place there in the next verse, John 1:20. "And he confessed," meaning John the Baptist, "and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" So obviously he answered that way because they wanted to know if in fact he was the Christ. Now the word Christ means Messiah. You know, growing up, I heard the name Jesus Christ. In fact, I've used the name Jesus Christ in vain as a lost, wicked sinner before I came to know the Lord. So, you know, I never gave a thought to connecting the word Christ with the word Messiah. But that's what it is, the word Christ, anointed one, the Messiah. So they were asking John the Baptist, you know, if in fact he was the Christ. And he said, "I am not the Christ." So he made that very clear to them. Next verse 21, "And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias or Elijah?' And he saith, 'I am not. Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.'" I like that. "And he answered, 'No.'" So what did they mean when they say, "Art thou that prophet?" You know what they were referring to? If you go to Deuteronomy, I'll put it up on the screen there. I'll be putting cross references up. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Let me read it for you. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." Now, this passage, ladies and gentlemen, that was a prophecy actually of Christ. "I'm going to raise you up a prophet." Now, we know Christ is more than a prophet, obviously. And if you go to the Book of Acts, I'm not going to put it on the screen. Read the whole chapter, chapter 3. You'll see where they talk about Moses speaking of a prophet. And this is the exact passage that they're talking about. And he was preaching to the Jewish people and letting them know, look, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ that you need. This is the one the prophets whom the prophet spoke about. So I want you to see. So that's why they were asking John the Baptist if in fact he was that prophet. And he said no. So I just wanted to bring a little light on that part there. So next verse 22, John 1:22. "Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou?'" or "Who are you?' "That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" So they, you know, "What's all the hubbub about, bub? You know, what's this stuff? You know, why are you baptizing? You know, if you're not the Christ, if you're not that prophet, who are you? What's all this commotion here? Why are all people coming to you? Who do you proclaim that you are?" Now, John answers that in John 1:23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias or Isaiah.'" Okay, so let's go back to that prophet right now. We're going to go back to the prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 40, verse 3. It says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Glory to God. I love that verse. So John the Baptist basically is telling those people who were sent by the Jewish religious leaders, he says, "This is who I am." And he quoted Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, and he says, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness," he says, "that's me. I'm that voice that's crying out. And this is the message. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, we know that John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus Christ. So if you go here, you see the deity of Jesus Christ once again in that verse of Isaiah 43. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, Yahweh. Hallelujah. That's what it's saying. Prepare ye the way of Yahweh. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The word there in the Hebrew, Elohim. Hallelujah. So John the Baptist prepared the way for Yahweh Elohim. Jesus Christ is Yahweh Elohim. He was God in the flesh. Don't miss that. So verse 24, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias or Elijah, neither that prophet? So once again, we see that they're pressing him and saying, well, why are you baptizing? You know, basically they're saying, well, what gives you the authority to do these things? You know, if you're not Christ, you're not the Messiah, you're not Elijah, you're not that prophet, why are you out here even doing this? You don't line up with our scriptures. We know what's in the scrolls, but we don't seem to find anybody there that matches your description. That's exactly what was taking place there, ladies and gentlemen. So there must have been quite a scene that was going on there. And then John says in verse 26, John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. So John's telling them, look, guys, you know, I understand what you're talking about. Look, I'm baptizing people, you know, preaching a baptism of repentance. I'm baptizing them. But you know something? There's somebody coming, and I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. That's what he's saying. He's the one. I'm just the one who's preparing the way. But the one who's coming, he's preferred before me. You'll see that used three times in John chapter 1, preferred before me, okay? This is the one you need, okay? And this is what he's telling them. This is the one you need. Hallelujah. He says, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. That's what's taking place there. So, verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, yes. If you want your sins taken away, ladies and gentlemen, this is the one you need. His name is Jesus Christ. There's only one Lamb of God, not many lambs, ladies and gentlemen, whom God would say I approve of. There's only one. It's the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God, and he was sent to take away the sin of the world. Now, why would they use that term, Lamb of God? How can a man take away the sin of the world? Let me show you the connection now. Let's go back to the book of Exodus. We're going to go to chapter 12. I want to show you the connection between the Jewish Passover lamb and the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. Exodus 12, verse 5 through 7. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So pay attention. The Lord was telling Moses to tell the people, you know, get an unblemished lamb. This is, you know, the judgments were in the land, and God was all set to judge the firstborn children in Egypt, okay? So this is the Lord telling his own people that he's going to protect them, and this is what he wanted them to do, okay? So he says, get an unblemished lamb, you're going to kill it, and take the blood from those slain lambs and put it on the post, the two side posts, the upper post of the door. That's what he was telling them to do. Let's go down to verse 21 in that book of Exodus. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Look at that. So he's making it clear. This is what you're going to do. Once again, put the blood, kill the lamb, put the blood on the side post, put it on the upper post, and don't you dare leave, okay, until morning. This is what they had to do. So can you imagine what this must have been like as the lives of the firstborn of Egypt were taken from them? Verse 23 in Exodus 12. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer or will not allow the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you or to kill you. Now, you want to talk about the protection of Almighty God, ladies and gentlemen? For his people, called the people of Israel. He's going to protect them. This was the judgment of Almighty God. Oh, yes, it was. So this is exactly what happened. And can you imagine what people, the Jewish people, you know, there had to be apprehension as they were in their homes, you know, probably thinking, how is this going to protect us? We put the blood here. You know, are we going to be okay? There could be a lot of concern and worry. But the Lord went through the land, ladies and gentlemen, and he destroyed the firstborn, but the children of Israel were not harmed. Hallelujah. This is God protecting his people. So I want to show you the connection, ladies and gentlemen. You know why Jesus Christ is called the Lamb of God. He was slain for the sins of the world. He's the ultimate fulfillment of that Passover sacrifice. He is the ultimate lamb. He is the Lamb of God. He is the only one who can take away your sins. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you see the connection? Do you see how Peter described Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot? That is exactly what the Lord told the children of Israel to do, to get a lamb without blemish. Do you see the connection? So this is pointing to the ultimate Lamb of God who's without blemish and he's without spot. If you want to be in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, you need the blood of that Lamb of God whose name is Jesus Christ to wash away your sins. Let me take you to Revelation to show you that the people in heaven, they're going to be singing a song of the redeemed, ladies and gentlemen, and they're singing about the blood that the Lamb of God shed for them. So let's go to Revelation chapter 5. We'll start at verse 8. Verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You miss this, folks. You miss salvation. You miss this. You miss heaven. Oh, yes, you do. There's one way for your sins to be taken away, and this is how it is taken away. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. He's the one that was slain for our sins. Back to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Again, you see John saying he's preferred before me, for he was before me. Why? Because Christ is eternal. He's the eternal Son of God. Oh, yes, he is. So this is the one you need, ladies and gentlemen. John chapter 1, verse 31, "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bear record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." Oh, yes. So John the Baptist, he baptized people in water, physical water. Oh, yes, he did, in the river. Okay. But Jesus Christ, he's going to baptize you, ladies and gentlemen, with living water, spiritual water. So you're getting immersed in the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, you do. So John baptized physical water. He said, somebody's coming along. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. That's what you need, folks. You need a baptism in the Holy Ghost. Verse 34, "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And once again, he calls him the Lamb of God. So I'm going to leave it right there in this portion, ladies and gentlemen, this teaching. I encourage you to come back. There'll be more going through the whole Gospel of John, as I said. So I gave you something to meditate on here in the Word of God. Once again, be blessed in the Lord.